I'm in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I want to finish up a couple of thoughts on verse number 6. These are the words of God to the people of God, and he says to them, this is Exodus 19:6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and my holy nation." And then he says to Moses, "These are the words," or "this is the message which you shall speak to the children of Israel." We've already made the observation that those who approach the holy God represent God to those who've not approached him before, and that this is an extension of the promises that have been made to Abraham, that through Abraham, in Abraham, all the families of the earth were going to be blessed. And so it has been God's intent not simply to favor one group of people to the exclusion of all the others, but to favor a group of people as a missionary people, as a priestly people. The fact that Israel didn't understand their mission the way they should have should be a lesson to the church, and I would remind you that this same language is applied to the church in Peter's writings. So you and I, in as much as we are chosen, if we think about ourselves as chosen to receive blessing and benefit from God to the exclusion that those others are, that are not chosen, we may be misunderstanding the category altogether. The category should be more properly understood as being chosen to be vehicles of the gospel spread through the world. And so you have this text, there to be a kingdom of priests. So if you have been favored, you have been able to approach the holy God, that is not the fulfillment of God's favor on your life. You are not simply to approach the holy God, but after you have been granted that opportunity, that permission, you are to go and to take others who have not yet met the holy God, and you are to lead them to approach him properly. That would be, in our case, through Christ. The last thing we note here in this verse before we move on is that this is God's message. This is not Moses' message. Moses didn't make this up. God gave the message to Moses and said, "Moses, I want you to repeat this just like I'm telling you to the children of Israel." God is the sender of the message. Moses is just its deliverer. He is the messenger. He's not the originator. He's not the creator of the message. Verse 7, "So Moses came back and he called for the elders of the people, and he laid before them, he set before them all these words which the Lord commanded him," the New Living Translation says. "So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people, and he told them everything that the Lord commanded him." Verse number 8, "Then all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' So Moses brought back," he reported the words of the people to the Lord, the New Living Translation says, "and all the people responded together, 'We will do everything that the Lord has commanded.' So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord." Now, this is something interesting to me, and that is the Lord is not speaking directly to the people. The Lord spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Israel. Israel spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke back to the Lord. It's like a sanctified gossip game, right? I mean, that's what's going on here. And it appears that this cycle is going to keep occurring. Now, it's interesting to me that what Moses is actively doing for Israel, God wants Israel to do for all the nations. So I've written it this way. In God's plan, Israel would be to the nations who Moses was to Israel. You'll notice that the people respond with an enthusiastic yes to the Lord's message or to the Lord's offer. They say, all that the Lord tells us to do, we will do. Everything the Lord commands us, we will do. At least it's the right answer, even if the follow-through stinks. Right? I mean, that's a place to start. The Lord says something, we understand, we should do it all. Right? That's good. Verse number 9. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. The New Living Translation says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so that the people themselves can hear me when I speak with you. Then they will always trust you. Moses told the Lord what the people had said. So the Lord wants to make sure that Israel knows that it is the Lord who is speaking to Moses. That is, what Moses repeats from the Lord is actually from the Lord. It's not from Moses. Now, the same kind of thing is built into the preaching in a New Testament age, right? You have pastors, you have evangelists, you have preachers, and there is a way for God's people to discern that the message they're hearing wasn't just crafted by the preacher, because they have God's word. And they are supposed to have God's word open, and they are supposed to be reading it and studying it, even as the pastor is speaking about the word, so they can verify that the message the pastor is delivering isn't just coming from his own cleverness, but it's actually sanctioned by God, and they can see that because they see the truth coming from the word of God. And the pastor is also relieved of the responsibility, because he's not crafting a message, he's delivering one that God sent. The Lord wants the people to witness enough of the encounter between Moses and himself that the people are convinced of that. In order for the Lord to permit all the people to witness this encounter, they must be properly prepared. And we're getting ready to learn about this. And this is another important truth related to approaching the Holy God. Those who approach the Holy God, they respect his words like no other. This is one of the things that causes me some caution with some so-called Pentecostal or charismatic Christians. Many of them, some of them, spend great energy telling you about their love and their devotion and their passion for the Lord and for the Spirit of God and for Jesus, but they seem to resent being asked, where in the Bible is such a truth found? Or where in the Bible could I go to find what you just said? Well, to be clear, the people who have approached the Holy God, they don't mind being asked what the Bible teaches. That's what they actually want to talk about. So if you think that Christian maturity takes you away from the Bible, you are severely mistaken. Christian maturity always takes a person deeper into God's Word. That should be something that's clear, and it shouldn't be a point of confusion. And so whatever stripe of Christianity that you find, if it is genuine, if it is authentic, it will not be running away from God's Word, it will be running to and in God's Word. To be clear, when you approach the Holy God, your delusions of grandeur are melted away. you, like Isaiah the prophet, will cry out, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips in the midst of a people of unclean lips." You will not say, "Yippee, look what I found." That is not what God's people do when they encounter the Holy God. I'm reading in the Old Testament right now. I just finished up the book of Judges and have now gone a few chapters into Samuel. Well, in Judges, the parents of Samson, his dad's name is Manoah. I can't remember his wife's name. I don't know if the text even tells us. But Manoah and his wife have an encounter with the angel of the Lord. And they leave this encounter realizing that they have had a face-to-face encounter with the angel of the Lord, and they are afraid they're going to die, and the angel of the Lord comes back and says, "No, it's okay, you're not going to die." Well, the idea that you're going to draw near to God and you're going to be impressed with you is just ludicrous. When you draw near to God, you're going to be impressed with Him. And you're going to be impressed with His grace and with His favor and His kindness and His forgiveness. You're going to be impressed with His Holy Spirit, who cleans you up from the inside out. You're going to be impressed with His Son, who loved you so much that He traded Himself for you. When you draw near to the Holy God, you're not impressed with you. In fact, if you're looking at you, you're really looking at the wrong thing altogether. This is the teaching here. Verse number 10, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.'" The New Living Translation says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing.'" Now, consecrate is a word that you will not use unless you are reading the Bible. It is not a word we use anymore. I'm a pastor. I had some vague idea of what the word consecrate means, but I wasn't satisfied, so I looked it up. The word consecrate means to appropriate for sacred use, to set apart, to dedicate, to devote to the service and the worship of God. All right? It is to make something venerable, that is, to make something honorable, to make it respected. So, in this context, they were to clean their clothes. Now, clean clothes for us is not much of a big deal. We take our clothes off, we toss them into the washer, we put some Tide or Cheer or whatever else we put in there, we put a little fabric softener in, we push the button, and we walk away. And about an hour later, we go back to the machine, we grab the stuff out of it, we throw it in the dryer, we clean the lint filter out, hopefully. We put a fabric softener sheet in, we push the button, and we walk away. And we come back an hour later, and we have clean clothes. In ancient times, it was a task. It took time. It was active. So while you are engaged in the task of cleaning your clothes, you are also thinking about how else you might not be clean. If the Lord says, "I don't want you to come to me with dirty clothes," it indicates He deserves for me to come to Him with clean clothes. Well, if He deserves for me to come to Him with clean clothes, He probably deserves for me to be clean, period. In fact, it kind of invites the question, well, if the Lord deserves for me to be in clean clothes, what else does He deserve? That, by the way, is how you prepare for worship. Let me just pause here for a moment, and I'm going to be quickly and abruptly unkind, and then we'll move on. I have heard it said, perhaps I've even said it myself, I've heard people complain. They went to worship and they, quote, didn't get nothing out of it. Well, that's the wrong question altogether. The question isn't, did you get something out of it like you were entitled to something? The question is, what does God deserve, and did he get it from you? Does he deserve worship from you? Did he get it from you? Does he deserve praise from you? Did he get it from you? Does he deserve to hear a confession of sin? Did he hear it from you? It's quite interesting to me that we get this badly backwards, and not only do we get it badly backwards, but sometimes we sanction it backwards. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get anything from the service today. But maybe we shouldn't say that at all. Maybe we should say, I wonder what God got from you today. Did he get worship from you today? Did he get praise from you today? Did he hear a confession of sin today? Did he get repentance from you today? What did God get from you today? You're not the centerpiece of what happens when you come here. If you are, you are really confused. He is the centerpiece. This is the last point, a great place for us to finish. Thinking about approaching the holy God. Those who would approach must prepare to worship. They are not approaching an equal. I guess I should finish with this disclaimer. If someone comes to Bethel and they are not clean and their clothes are not clean, this message that I'm preaching tonight does not sanction our mistreatment of them. That's not what this is about. It doesn't sanction someone who doesn't dress the way they should dress. Someone comes to church wearing a Budweiser t-shirt. Their Budweiser t-shirt is the least of their problems, and it should be the least of ours. But this lesson still holds true. If you know who God is, and you haphazardly, lackadaisically prepare to come and be with him, shame on you. You know better than that. Is the church more casual than it was a generation ago? Well, certainly it is. That's okay. But to be clear, you should be preparing to come to church. Look, most of the time when we go to the grocery store, we have a list. Because we don't want to go in there and just buy things on an impulse, because we'll have a bunch of stuff that we shouldn't have bought, and we'll forget the things we actually need. Well, if we prepare to go to the grocery store, surely we ought to prepare to go to church. Approaching the holy God, those who would approach must prepare to worship. They are not approaching an equal. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for my brothers and sisters tonight who've joined with me to pray. We spent a prolonged time praying, and that's a good thing because there were people who needed our prayers. And frankly, we needed to pray for them. A part of what this text teaches that we're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. I don't know how we can be priests if we don't stand in the gap between people and you. There are some people who need prayers that don't know how to pray them. So we are serving them even if they don't know we are when we pray for them. That's part of that priestly ministry. Now, eventually, it needs to go back that direction, and they need to know that we've prayed for them, and they need to know that you have heard from us on their behalf. Lord, thanks for my brothers and sisters. Protect us from even the common cold that would rob our deep breath and would rob our stamina and our energy and our vitality. Help us to be grateful when you hear our prayers and the normal course of life. We're as healthy as a person can be this side of glory. Help us to be grateful and appreciative, and help us to be good stewards of that strength. Let us use it in ways that are redemptive, not wasteful. Thanks for meeting us here this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.